So I want to start with asking you a question. And I want you to be really honest and think about this question. Is this question true? Is this actually in my life? So here's the question. Write this down. What would you attempt to do if you weren't afraid of failure? What would you attempt to do in your life if you weren't afraid of failure? Okay. What would you have done if you weren't afraid of doing it? Right? How about this? What is stopping you from doing some things in your life? Could it be the fear of failure? All right. So, you know, I'm always so excited about all our young people that we have at YCF, from the little itty bitties right on up to our college and career. I'm excited. I'm excited what God's doing in their life now and what God's going to continue to do in their life in the future. But here's my question. If you weren't afraid of failing, would you start a campus club in your high school? Oh, Pastor D, that'd be scary. Yeah. So what would you do if you weren't roadblocked by the fear of failure? Would you start a campus club? How about this? Any age, I don't care who you are, think about this one. Would you, if you weren't afraid of failure, would you start a grow group at your house? Oh, Pastor D. Okay, here's this. You know, usually twice a year we set up tables in the back or in the foyer, we lay them out, and we have sign-ups for grow groups. How many of you remember the sign-ups? Well, how about, you know, well, Pastor D, what if I sign up to lead a grow group and we have the sign-up day and nobody signs up for my group? And everybody will see the piece of paper's blank. Nobody signed up for my group. What if nobody signed up for my group? Okay. So far that hasn't happened. But do you know that the what if stop people? And that what if is fear. And fear of failure will stop you. Right? How about this? Maybe you feel like you should launch a new business or expand your business or change your job. But what if you're afraid of failing and you just don't do it? I hate fear of failure. I hate fear, and I definitely hate this fear of failure. And what I see in my life and I see in other people's lives as I talk, and I'll share later on, is that sometimes what happens is we have so many fears of failure that it stops us from doing or going places that we want to. Or how about if God tells you to? God's been speaking to your heart. But we've got this, you know, fear of stepping out, okay? Because we're afraid if we're going to fail. So I want to talk about that today. How about this one? How many people are afraid to tell somebody about Jesus? Or you've got the fear of what? Aunt invite somebody to church. But you've got this fear. What if they say no? Okay, so the fear of failure will definitely freeze you in places that you don't want to be stuck in. All right, this is to all my gentlemen that are sitting out here. Be honest, because, you know, we don't lie. Yeah, we don't lie here. Okay, how many of you had the fear of asking a girl out on a date? Yeah, how many of you finally got the nerve to get on the phone and you're beating around the bush for a half an hour because the fear of what if she says no, right? It happens. It happens in relationship. It happens in every era of our life. Funny story, I remember going out. It was a group get together with Jack, my two girlfriends, and his cousin, Eric. Eric was living at the house. He was going to do his senior year in high school. I think we went to some concert, and I was getting dropped off, and Jack liked me. I didn't know it at the time. And he walked me to the door, and then he went back out to the car with Eric, and they were going to drive home. And Eric says, 17-year-old, Jack back then was probably about 21, he goes, well, did you ask her out? Are you kidding me? For crying out loud, ask the girl out. He runs back into my apartment, knocks on the door. I'm like, what are you doing here? Well, would you like to go out next week? Yes, of course, okay? But, you know, that fear of what if they say no, whew, that's just horrible, Amen. So fear, that fear, it'll hit you in relationships. It'll hit you in all kinds of areas of your life. So write it down, hopefully. What if you weren't afraid of failing? What would you do? Question of the day. I'm going to say that a lot of times, and actually it's your homework for the week, so you should write it down, right? Here's my big idea. The main thing I want you to get as you walk out of here, more just see it more clearly than you ever have before. Here it goes. Our attitude concerning failure, you know, how you think about failure, your attitude concerning failure determines the altitude of the determines our altitude following failure. Okay, basically what I'm saying is how you look at failure will determine where you're going tomorrow, right? So you're not going to go to where you need to go if this thing of fear of failure has you gripped. You are not going to go do the things that you want to do, maybe God's speaking to you to do, if this thing called the fear of failure has a grip on you. You're not going anywhere. So we have to have a good attitude. And I'm going to talk about some good attitudes about this thing. Let me give you some statistics. I love Google. Google, give me some statistics. It's so much fun. It's so easy. 30% of Americans are so afraid of failing that they are frozen in their tracks and they won't step out. 30% of Americans, you should have heard, I was reading some other countries, but 30% of Americans are so afraid of failing that they're just stuck and they won't go out into the unknown, all right? Now, the rest of it is 70%. So the 70% that are left, they still have to deal with fear, okay? They still have to deal with fear, and they have, and usually the fear is things you've never done before. They still have to deal with, and it usually has to do with things you've never done before. So all of us have to deal with fear, but our attitude on that fear will determine where you're going or where you're frozen. And I don't want to be frozen. I don't want you to be frozen. I want you out doing and grooving and moving and going. Okay, so we're going to look at this thing. So I came up with four things, or let's say four attitudes that have to do with this fear of failure. And actually, I probably learned them all the hard way. So I'm going to give them to you so you don't have to fall in the ditch that I ditched in, okay? And hopefully that these will help you deal with the fear of failure so that you can conquer it. Come on, we are more than conquerors, but sometimes you are like, ah. So I'm going to give you four things. And number one, you ready? If you have a pen, write this down. We have to understand that failure is inevitable. Pastor D, I thought you're a faith preacher. Oh, yeah, baby, but I'm telling you the real thing. So write this down. You have to understand that fear is inevitable, okay? No matter who you are, I don't care where you came from, you're going to fail sometime. Anybody ever have some fails? Flops? Goof-ups? Mess-ups? Okay, everybody's going to fail at some point. And you have to understand that. And when you finally understand that, guess what? The pressure goes off. And you're gonna look at them like, people fail. Okay, it's okay. It's okay. People fail. I might fail. It's okay. So failure is inevitable. And that just was like, whew, what a weight off. So how many of you remember, oh, my young guys are downstairs. How many of you remember Michael Jordan? Okay, I said this to some young kid, and they're like, who? I was like, oh, that was the 90s. You don't know nothing. And I probably wouldn't know nothing except for my son-in-law, Cameron, is a basketball fiend. It just loves it. And we get into some conversations so I don't sound so dumb some days. But this is what Cameron taught me. Ready? Michael Jordan was a basketball icon in the 90s. He ruled the NBA. Thank you, Cameron. He had 6 NBA championships with the Bulls, the Chicago Bulls. 6. Guess what that makes him? He's pretty good. Now, nowadays, you know, LeBron James, you might, you know, he's not as good as LeBron James. I don't care what you say, but listen, Michael Jordan was a winner back in the 90s. So I want to read you what he wrote because it has to do what we're talking about. You ready? Here we go. This is what Michael Jordan said. I have missed more than 9,000 shots. Failure, right? I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost almost 300 games. Whoosh. And on 26 occasions, I have been entrusted to take the winning shot. And I missed. Got a little failure going on, right? Okay? I have failed over and over and over again in my life. And that, I love this part, and that is why I'm a success. Failure is inevitable. And he realized that. He realized failure was inevitable to the point where he goes, okay, I'm going to fail, but I'm going to get up again. And I might fail again. Like how many shots? And I'm going to get up again, and I'm going to get up again. Because so what? Failure is inevitable. But it's your attitude that you have to have a good attitude so you get up and you keep playing. And listen, 6 NBA championships, pretty good. Pretty good. Amen. All right. So I came across 2 really famous people that one of them you'll know for sure. Okay. The first one is Sir James Dyson. He invented the Dyson sweeper. Ta-da. They're going to pop a picture up of him. He must have been knighted because he's Sir James Dyson, okay? Listen to this about this guy. He made 5,126 vacuum cleaners, okay? And they all flopped. He made 5,126 prototypes and they failed. And then he made 5,127, and you have the Dyson vacuum cleaner. And it is just the biggest thing that slammed the market. And do you know how much he's worth today? $4 million. So what's the moral of the story? Failure's inevitable, but hey, get a good attitude and keep going and keep going. Keep trying, keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. Okay? Woo! Jeez. All right, here's one. Now, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Y'all, don't judge me. Here you go. Anybody here, Stephen King? He's an author. Now, he kind of writes some dark stuff. I don't read the dark stuff, okay? But he's written a couple of good things. But let me tell you about his beginning days, all right? So he wrote this book, and I won't tell you because you'll judge me, all right? So he wrote his first book, and he went and he took it to 30 publishers. 30 publishers. Go to one, go to the next, go to the next. He goes to 30 of them, and they all say, this is a piece of junk. It's not worth publishing. So he comes home after going to 30 publishers, and he comes in the door. He throws the thing in the trash, and he yells at his wife, I'm never going to write anything. I'm done. This is stupid. This sounds like me. You know, he didn't say that. But I'm not going to do this. And the good mate that God gave her, him, picks it up in the trash, gets in his face and says, listen, buddy, you go to publisher number 31. Picks it up. And he goes to publisher number 31. And publisher number 31 says, this is the most amazing book. I'm going to publish it. And I won't even tell you how many books he's written. They've turned them into movies. And the guy's worth a lot of money. So, failure is inevitable, but it's your attitude that'll take you someplace or keep you stuck, right? Turn over to Proverbs chapter 24. Here's a good scripture. And listen, God knew failure was inevitable. This is why he wrote this. So turn over to Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. You ready? Proverbs 24, verse 16. For though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise up again, but the wicked stumble when their calamity strikes. So you know what this tells me? Every child of God, you're going to have some failures. It's inevitable. But, everybody say, but, but you can get back up after it. You can choose to get back up after it. So failure is inevitable, but it's our attitude afterwards. Praise God. Okay, you ready for number 2? Write this down. Write this down. Here we go. Failure is a great teacher. Ta-da! Failure is a great teacher. I got one person going, oh yeah, baby. Oh yeah, baby. Yep. Okay. So what I'm really saying is, what can I learn from my failure? What can I learn? Oh man, I wish this person was here because then I'll have to preach to him later. Okay. Years ago, long, long time ago, I had this big flop. I stepped out in something, and I'd failed. And I was so bummed. I was so pathetic. And I'm crying the blues to Jack. And he's trying to console me and go, oh, it's going to be okay. Of course, you know, you don't listen to your spouse sometimes. And you're like, So, you know, I'm just bummed out. I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to step out. I'm not going to ever try that again. I'm just going to stay home and eat worms. Wah. Okay. Couple days later, we had some friends over, and this guy happens to be in the corporate world in a leadership position, in a high leadership position. So I start my wah, wah, wah. I tried doing this, and it failed, and I'm so bummed out, and I'm never going to do that again. I'm just going to stay home and eat worms, okay? And you know what he did? He's laughed at me. He's laughing at me. So I'm really good. Laughing at me. And then he had some profound words. He said, in the corporate world, we make mistakes all the time. What? In the corporate world, we make mistakes all the time. And he said, so basically he said, suck it up, buttercup. Right? We make mistakes. People make mistakes. People fail. And then he says, but you have to ask yourself this question. Ready? What can I learn from my failure? What can I learn from my mistake? You have to ask yourself that. Okay, that means you're growing up. Okay. And I want to tell you, that brought such peace in my life. I'm like, okay, failure's inevitable, but what can I learn? What am I going to learn from that? And so I did a little study. So I can back up everything I'm saying. But I did a little study, and this is what it said. You should do three things after your failure. You should do three things after your failure. Number one, you should ask yourself, what can I learn from my mistake, my failure, my flop, whatever? What can I learn? Number two, how can I grow as a person after that situation? How do I grow personally? Alrighty, how do I grow personally after that failure situation, all right? Third one, what are three positive things about the situation? Around here, anytime we have an outreach, the week after we have a debriefing meeting, and we do this. We do this. Only thing, we start with number three. These are the ground rules. Debriefing meeting. You have to say something positive. So we had a debriefing meeting about the trunk or treat outreach. And we went around and everybody had something positive. Something positive. And then we talked about the things that were a flop. And every year we have flops. But then we talk about how could we grow. All right? So, failure's inevitable. But it's a good teacher, and you have to ask yourself, hey, what can I learn from this? And my famous slogan is, I am a day older and a little smarter, right? Only if you ask these questions to yourself. I had this person do an event, and it was a flop. It was so bad, and we were all just cheering them on, cheering them on. And they did not do this. They did not do this, and they crashed and burned. Okay? Because, you know, everything that you think is a flop, there's always one good thing that happened. There's one good thing that happened. There's something positive, okay? So how about this? There's probably some people sitting here, and you had a relationship failure, and now you have crawled into a hole. And you're like this, I'm never going to have any friends. That's it. I'm done with the world. I'm going to build a wall. I'm not going to ever have some close relationships. Well, I want to encourage you. You have to ask yourself, what did I learn from that past relationship? Because I would like to be a day older and a little smarter, all right? And if you can't hear an answer, you need to ask me because I'll probably tell you, okay? Ask somebody that's close to you, full of love that day, because sometimes I can't see my blind spots, right? So go ask somebody. How about this? Maybe you launched out into business and it didn't work. Ask yourself, what did I learn? What did I learn? Bad location. Whatever, whatever, whatever. How about this one? You've had a bad year. I mean, a whole year of bad, all right? Failures after failures. Go ask yourself, hey, what did I learn? Okay, what did I learn? Praise God. This has only happened once, but you started a grow group and it flopped. It has only happened once. And that's because they didn't go to our meeting where we talk about the things you shouldn't do, right? But you should ask yourself, hey, why did it flop? Why did it fizzle out? And it's okay to ask those questions. It's good. So, praise God. Let me give you one more famous person. Everybody hear of Henry Forbes? No, Ford. Henry Ford. Okay. He is the founder of Ford Corporations, Motor Corporations. Listen to this about him. He said, failure is simply an opportunity to begin again. Talk about a good attitude. The guy's soaring. Failure is an opportunity to begin again, this time more intelligently. I am a day older and a little smarter, right? Listen to this. You probably don't know this. His first car that he mass produced for the American public failed. Flop. Total zip. All right? And he asked himself, oh, what can I learn? And he made tweaks and launched the second car. He launched the second car, and guess what? It failed miserably to the point the company almost went belly up. But he asked himself, oh, what can we learn? And he made some tweaks from the things that weren't flying, right? And then on the third time, he made the Model A, and the Model A car sold like hotcakes. And that was just the launching. And then we have the Model T and that y'all know about that my grandfather had. So this guy obviously had to learn some things from his mistakes. He had to ask some questions. And he was big enough to ask questions. What can I learn from my mistakes? Praise the Lord. Smile, everybody. All right. So we're going to have to do that in every area of our life. In our natural areas, when we've had a failure, you know, go cry for a day, pull it together, and the next day go, what can I learn? In spiritual areas, you know, how come this isn't working? Go get yourself together and then go ask, what can I learn? All right, here's number three, attitude, good attitude that you have to have. Ready? Number three. We must understand that taking a risk is necessary. Okay. You have to understand that taking risks is necessary. You have to understand that. So when I say the word take a risk, that's what freezes people. What? You want me to step out? Yes, you need to step out. And people just freak out and they freeze and they get stuck and they don't go to the places they need to go or do the things they need to do. And, you know, this is the thought we get. It might not work. What if I step out and there's the big risk of stepping out and failing? What if? Okay, those are the things that freeze people from doing anything after a failure or before the failure. Let me give you an example. I was thinking on this. All right. Put your seatbelts on. Put your smile on because I'm shooting. Here we go. Do you know, I've read this several times and I've heard it in a conference. Do you know that when it comes to inviting people to church, it says 9 out of 10 people who you go and invite to church, 9 out of 10 say, I would come. 9 out of 10 people said, I would come if you'd ask me. Okay. So we have this coming up. Get 10 of them and tell me what your statistics are. All right. Get 10 of them. So now, guess what the percentage of Christians that ask people to come to church? Sorry. Guess. 2. 2% of Christians actually go and ask people to church. So you know what happens to the other 98%? What if they say no? And we're afraid, right? So we don't. And yet, 9 out of 10 say, I'll come. 9 out of 10 people will come, okay? So listen, we ask 10 people and only one is going to reject us. And I want to go, well, so what? You know, but I can't say that, okay? So we ask 10 people and only one's going to go, no. All right? And why? But we're afraid. What if they say no? Come on. In the business sales world, it says that You have to ask 9 people to get 1 yes. And they do that. They get rejected, 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 rejected 9 times. And then they get 1 yes. And they're like, score. I just scored $10,000 on a job, okay? But what if they got frozen in their getting over their failures? Okay, not good. So, I promise you, I will do my best if you bring a guest not to embarrass you or them. I'm trying. Usually I embarrass myself. Before I embarrass you, okay? So, hey, get out there and invite people. Praise God. Yes, Pastor D. All right, if you're taking notes, write this down. Here we go. Your level of risks determines your level of reward. Your level of risk determines the level of reward, okay? So you got to take a risk if you want to get rewards. Probably about 7 years ago, 8 years ago. Gee, time flies. Pastor Sherry came to me and says, Ma. I was like, uh-oh. She said it that way. Ma, I want to put basketball hoops down there. What? I want to put basketball hoops down there. Why? So that there's lots of youth in this neighborhood. There's lots of high school kids. She says, I want them, and they'll come play basketball down here, and then we can play basketball with them, and then we'll slip in a few prayers, and then we'll slip in maybe a little Bible study, and then we'll slip them into the building, and they'll hear about Jesus, and their lives will be changed. Okay, fear of failure, fear of risk. This is really my part, not Sherry's. The risk. So you know what I did right away? I call my insurance agent. I go, hey, she wants to do this. Okay, what happens if someone breaks a leg? What happens if someone cracks open their skull? What happens? What happens? What happens? And my insurance agent says, we got you covered. We got you covered. We got you. Basically, I pay for it. You're covered. You're covered. You're covered. And I go to Sherry and I go, I don't know. She goes, Ma, the risk is worth it. Youth. So we launched this. Thank you, Brian Coker, Steve Heist, Corey, Bajorski, Nevin. In the winter, they would shovel snow and youth would come and play basketball down here. Eventually, they'd come on up because we have the best sugar in town. Just get, and chips, okay? Listen, the risk was worth it. The risk was worth it, all right? So without risk, the reward is, right? So sometimes the greater the risk, the greater the reward. Those are great rewards. All right. Sure, it costs us some money. And sure, one of them's broken because some kid's hanging on it. Not this hanging, just hanging that way. Okay. And they need to be fixed and stuff. But the risk was worth it. People's lives. And you have to ask that. So you have to ask yourself that question. What's the risk? Okay. Here's another Michael Jordan quote. You ready? I cannot accept failure. Everyone fails at some time. Excuse me. I can accept failure. Sorry. I can accept failure. Everyone fails sometime, but I cannot accept not trying. I want to have that attitude. You know, yes, I'm going to, failure's inevitable. Yes, I'm going to learn. But how about I say, I'm just going to step off and I'm going to just take a risk that it might succeed. And then when it succeeds, man, you've done what you're supposed to do. You've gone the places you're going to go, and you've probably impacted people's lives, okay? But without a risk, there is no reward. And you know what that tells me? People are comfortable. Oh, I'm just comfortable sitting where I am, Pastor D. I don't want to be. Oh, I'm just so comfortable, okay? And then listen, taking risks is not my favorite thing, but I have been learning and doing it and growing it, and I have failed a whole bunch. We used to laugh. Joanne, you remember this? The junk room downstairs, that pretty much was filled with all our failures. Okay, we tried things here at church, or we bought too much, or it just didn't work, and we just would fill that room, and we would try something else, okay, to reach people, because the risk, worth it. Amen. All right. So I do recommend, highly recommend, you should make calculated risks. Okay. Calculate the risk. Definitely do that. Let me give you a scripture. Ecclesiastes 11:4. But there are some things that you cannot be sure of. You must take a chance. Does that sound like a risk? You must take a risk. All right, go. If you wait for perfect weather, you'll never plant your seeds. If you're afraid, fear of failure, that every cloud will bring rain, you'll never harvest your crops. Now that's talking about farming. And I happen to have this big field behind me. And, you know, if the farmer decides this is the day, he's going to chop down all his hay or straw, whatever it is. And then he's going to be, I don't know if I should do that because it might rain. And if I chop it down and it rains, my crops are going to rot. But what if you don't do anything? You're not going to have a harvest. You're not going to plant. You're not going to have a harvest. You just got to take the risk. Thank goodness for the weatherman, so you can make some wise, calculated thoughts. But here's the thing. In every part of our life, there's no way you can be 100% sure what you're planning to do is going to work. Not unless you've got this direct line to heaven, okay? But there is no 100% sure that what you want to do, the risk you want to take is going to work. But you have to take some risks. You have to take some risks, guys. So if you're planning on launching a business, gosh, planning a church, starting a restaurant, going back to school, I don't know. You know, do some homework. Do a business plan. Run your numbers, all right? And then you get everybody to agree with you. Okay, that looks good. Your numbers look good. Yeah. But guess what? You still have to take a risk and do it. All right? Yes, praise God. So when I think about taking a risk, I think about, let me tell you a story. So I have this hairdresser, and she actually went to one of the schools, and then she worked in Manhattan, and then she came back to her hometown, York. And I actually have known her. Whoa, did the earring fall off? The thing fall off? Okay. I'm taped on. Okay, here we go. And her name is Rebecca, and she was training some people while she was blowing out my hair. All right. Sorry, it's such vanity to do this. I don't care. Here we go. So she was training some people while she was blowing out my hair, and she was giving them instructions. So she says, don't hold the handle of the hairdryer. I go, what? You're supposed to hold the, what would you call that thing? The what? The what? You got an accent, boy. Where are you from? Yeah, the barrel. Thank you, barrel. Gosh. And I'm like, what are you talking about, Rebecca? She says, no, we learned that you have better control. You can do this and this and that. And I said to her, and it was really the Spirit of God, and I said, you need to patent that, invent it and patent that. And she just laughed at me. Whatever. So every time I come, and I come every 4 weeks to get my hair cut and colored. I will be there on Wednesday, okay? So every time I go, and she'd be holding that hair dryer by the barrel, okay? And I go, Rebecca, did you go research this? Oh, 2 years later, I'm come in and she goes, she grabs me, runs me in. She goes, pulls up her cell phone. She goes, look at this. Somebody else did it. And I told her when I heard from the Lord, I said, YCF gets the first tithe. That's all I'm asking for. You can have the rest, all the goody goodies. Okay. And I tell her every time, listen, we're going to come up with creative ideas, and YCF gets to tithe, and you can do the rest with it. And she just, but so anyway, what does that have to do with this? You have to take a risk. If that girl would have taken the risk, she'd be making money, and YCF would have the tithe. Take a risk. Take a risk. What's the worst? Nobody bought them, but everybody from that school, that's how they're trained, is to hold it by the barrel. So at least they would have bought it. Okay. So when I think about taking risk, everybody know the story of the talents. It's actually a risk story. One guy had five, one guy had two talents, one guy had one talent, right? And the one guy who had one talent, what did he do with it? He buried it. He didn't take a risk. Okay, now there's more spiritual things to it, but think on the risk, okay? And what did Jesus say to him, or the master say to him? He wasn't too happy with him. He didn't say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Did he say that? No. But the guy who had five talents, he took a risk and he made what? 10. And the guy that had two talents, he took a risk and he made take a risk. You have to take a risk. You have to take a risk, okay? So I believe we have to have that mentality about taking calculated risks, please. My kids have tried to do some dumb things, but Mom, okay, we calculate some of this stuff, okay? Take a calculated risk, and you just have to jump in and do it. So what is it that you would do if fear wasn't a factor? Take a risk. Do it. Amen? Okay, last one. Yes, last one. Number four, if you're taking notes, we must understand God will help. I'm telling you, that is just like the biggest woohoo. You have to understand that God will help, okay? So no matter what we do, you need to understand that God will help. And if I fall on my face, I can understand that God's going to help. If I fail, flop, zip, zero, I just need to understand God's going to help. And you know, that just takes the fear out of it. Fear out of it, okay? And it doesn't matter. You don't have to even fail. You just need to know that God will help you in everything, in every place. He just wants to jump in and just lead you. So understand that God will help you. Here's a good scripture, Psalm 118, verse 29. I didn't give it to him, so just scribble it down. Psalm 118, 29. In your strength, I can crush an army, and with God, I can scale any wall. God will help you. And you just go in there going, okay, yep, I've heard from God. I have some desires from God. I just want to do this, okay? I've heard from God, and God's going to help me. Man, that's awesome. It's awesome. All right, so in my life, this is what I do. Number one, I do my homework. I write down, you do your homework first, okay? You got these things going on. You do your homework. And listen, I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if it will or it won't. But there's no way that I'm going to know, but I'm going to do my homework and I'm going to kind of do that part there. And then we pray, okay? Father God, I give this to you. I thank you that you have led me and directed me. I've heard from you, but I give this to you and I ask you by just to give me your grace, your empowerment, your strength to do it. Okay, so you do the prayer thing. Okay, when I do that, I give it to him and then whoa, I've got some peace going on and the fear is kicked out of my life. Okay, so I'm not doing it. You know, someone says, do it scared. No, I don't want to do it scared. I kick that thing out. I'm going to do it knowing that God's going to help me. All right. One more scripture. I read this scripture last week. No, I didn't read it. I just kind of quoted it. But today I want to read it. And it's found in Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse 26. I actually have this on my desk, and then I have an upper cupboard slapped on there. I say this, I read this a lot, so it's super encouraging. You ready? Matthew 19, 26. I'm going to read out two versions here. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. How many know that? Yeah, that should be on your thing of life, all right? Now listen to this out of the Message Bible. Woohoo! Here we go. Jesus looked hard at them and said, no chance at all if you think you can pull it off yourself. Every chance in the world if you trust God to do it with you. Okay. So this is what we need to know in order to get fear, to cast it out of your life. I'm going to pray. Okay, I'm going to pray. Everybody say, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to say, God, I did my homework. God, I've done the research. You know, I know I've done everything. And then I'm going to go, I can do all things with you. And I cast this upon you. I thank you that you're going to help me. And I thank you for your grace to do it. And then, you know what the next thing is? Do you know what's next after you pray? After you've done all that, what's next? You got to get off your rear ends and do it. Eight nicely is you need to step out. Okay? You need to step out. Okay? So we need to step out. And I believe that God's been speaking to people through these words. And he's just been dealing with you with situations and areas in your lives. Maybe that you failed. Or maybe you haven't even gotten to the point where you failed. And God's just dealing with you. It's time to just step out. Just time to step out. I sat in a service years ago. I think it's 30 years ago. Gosh, I was so young back then. And this is a quote. I was in a service and Jerry Savelle, how many of you guys know Jerry Savelle? You've been doing some of his stuff. Okay. He made this quote. I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat rocker. You know what he said? I'd rather risk it and try it and step out than to say I didn't do anything. And that brings regrets and what ifs and what, just I'd rather be a wet water walker. It's like, what? I'd rather jump out. I'd rather step out. Amen? All right. So I'd like to pray for y'all. I'd like you just to bow your heads, close your eyes. I'd like you to believe, because I know that God is speaking, but I'd like you to open your ears and believe that God is speaking to you right now. He's been speaking through you, through the service. Father, I thank you for giving us understanding and light through your word. I thank you that you have stirred people's hearts today. And I thank you that today there's going to be decision time. Decision time is today. And we're going to get up from our past failures and different areas, and we are choosing to go forward because of your word, because of your encouragement. And I thank you that you give us boldness to step out. I thank you that you help us when we step out. I thank you that we do not have the spirit of fear. I thank you that we are bold on the inside and you help us walk it on the outside. I thank you, Father, for that. I thank you, Father, that right now people are saying, yes, Lord, I make a decision. I make a decision to step out. I thank you. I make a decision to, oh gosh, launch a grow group. Go to a grow group. I thank you. You speak to people to start a campus club. I thank you that today they're saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to volunteer. Yes, Lord, I'm going to, I'm going to invite 10 people to church. Better yet, I'm going to invite 10 people to the Vessel worship concert. I'm going to step out. And Lord, with your help, I'm doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, one more invitation. Praise God. This is like one of my favorites here. Just keep your eyes closed and your heads down here. And just, you know, as far as that first part, you just let the Lord minister life to you. I believe that these words that about fear of failure and the attitudes we have are setting people free. I thank you, Father. You're setting people free from their past failures and fears. I thank you, Father, that there's new attitudes, new perspectives, Father. I thank you, Father, that there's decisions today. But here's another decision I ask. Have you ever done anything with Jesus? Have you ever done anything with Jesus? Have you ever considered or thought about eternity? How about that? But I'm not asking you if you've ever gone to church. I'm not asking if you grew up in church. I'm not asking if you were water baptized or sprinkled, and those are all great things. But I want to ask everybody here, have you ever done anything with Jesus? And I mean something personal, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And no man comes to the Father unless they go through me. And then he said, whoever calls on my name, I will save, I will bring into my family, and I will change you, and you will be mine. And those are probably the most powerful words that are in the whole Bible there, I'm telling you. So I want to ask, can you remember a day where you made Jesus personal, where he became your Lord, where you said, yes, Lord, I need you come into my life. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, you know what? I've never done that. But today I see, I hear, I know, and I would like that. I want that. If that's you, I just want to pray with you. As a matter of fact, how about we all pray this? All right. And when we pray this, I want you to pray it from your heart. All right. And pray it so you can hear it. All right. I'm not going to make it come down here. If you want to come on down here, come on down here. But just pray it from your heart. Just pray this and just say this after me. I believe Jesus is the Son of God and he died for me. And I believe that I need him. I need a Savior. Jesus, I accept you into my heart. I accept you into my life. I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, a miracle took place. And you may look the same, smell the same, act the same, but something big changed in your life. And God's Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you, and He has changed you. You are forever changed. You are forever His. You are called a child of God, and heaven is your home. And the Bible says if you've prayed that, heaven goes bananas right now. They are celebrating. They are just rejoicing that somebody has entered into this family. Amen. So, praise God, praise God, praise God. If you prayed that for the first time, would you please come tell me? I always have something to give you. I'll give you a high five if you don't do hugs, or I'll give you a hug. But hey, this day, your life has changed forever. This day, eternity, heaven is your home. And this day, you are marked as a child of God. And that is so good. So why don't we stand up? Praise God. If you would like prayer just to come along and agree with you, I've got elders up front. They would love to pray with you. I'll pray with you. Tuesday, 7 o'clock, we got a concert going on. We're just going to worship. They are just fabulous. If whatever you walked in with, let me tell you, when you leave, you will be different and uplifted through that. So, Father God, I thank you. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are blessed going in, and we are certainly blessed going out. I thank you, Father, that this week we talk to 10 people because we fear not, in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful week. I love you. You guys are blessed. Praise God. So if you'd like prayer, please come up. Come up. I'd love to pray with you. I've got elders up here. Pray with you. They pray good prayers of faith.